Qualifying matches for the European Championships played in June, such as Ireland's games over this weekend, always bring to mind the famous victory over England in Euro 88. Our first ever defeat of the old enemy in a competitive soccer match lifted the heart of the nation, to the extent that it's even been credited with having kick-started the Celtic Tiger. But its effect was felt far beyond these shores, as I would soon find out. The week after that match, I set off for Vietnam, where I was a regular visitor as I worked for Trocra at that time. The country was then a hardline communist state supported by the Soviet Union. The capital, Hanoi, retained something of its colonial elegance, but it was mostly a down-at-heel city, devoid of colourful advertising, interesting shops, or anything approaching bright lights. The airport was similarly lacking in charm. The only intercontinental flight was the weekly Aeroflot arrival from Moscow. I would arrive on a Vietnam Airlines flight from Bangkok. At immigration, I would present my Irish passport. Firstly, I would be looked up and down by a stern, unsmiling officer. He would examine the passport quizzically, frown, lean back and knock on a nearby office door, which would open slightly, allowing him to pass it to someone inside. I would be waved aside to let other passengers through. Eventually, the door would open, the passport would reappear, and a sharp voice would issue an instruction. I'd be summoned back to the passport desk, where the stern official would look me up and down all over again, then hand me my stamped passport without a word being spoken. It wasn't just at the airport I experienced this unfamiliarity with our fair isle. Whenever I phoned home from Vietnam, after requesting to be put through to Ireland by the operator, I would invariably be greeted by, "Hello, this is Reykjavik." For some reason, everyone has heard of Iceland. So on my arrival into Hanoi some days after the historic victory, I prepared for the usual routine. I handed in the passport. It was checked out with the usual curiosity. Then, to my surprise, the officer looked at me with a growing smile on his face. "Anilan," he asked. "Anilan, very good football." He stamped my passport with gusto and handed it back to me with a beaming smile. Recognition at last. I later discovered that Soviet television was broadcasting the Euros into Vietnam. The Soviet Union were also competing and would qualify for the final against the Netherlands, to be played the day before I would leave for home. I was staying in the rundown, rat-infested Hotel Thong Nhat, which translates to English as Great Victory. How apt, I thought, given our recent result. Rickshaw drivers would always gather outside the hotel in the hopes of getting a well-paid fare from a foreigner. The night of the final, I told one of them I'd like to watch the match, and did he know anywhere I could see it? He assured me he did. "How much?" I asked him. $5, he replied, chancing his arm. This would be a small fortune to him. "Done," I said, to his amazement. I was just so delighted that I'd get to see the match. I felt it was great value. We set off into the dark Hanoi streets. After a couple of minutes, we turned left, then shortly left again. 100 metres on, he pulled up outside a simple restaurant where a crowd was gathering. We were in the street right behind my hotel. He was grinning ear to ear as I handed over the $5. Well, I thought, I wouldn't have found this on my own, so everyone's a winner. At two tables at the front of the restaurant beside the TV, a large group of Soviets were drinking Russian champagne, getting their celebrations in early. There were other foreigners seated at the few other tables, whom I joined. Gathered around the open door was a large group of young locals. The game kicked off. The champagne-fueled Soviets were in great form, getting noisier as the match progressed. We foreigners were enjoying the game despite the over-exuberance of our red friends. Outside, the locals watched, exchanging murmured comments. 35 minutes in, the Netherlands scored. Disgust at the top tables, smiles in the middle, unreadable expressions outside. Early in the second half, the Soviets got a penalty. The top tables grew tense. The kicker missed, and amidst a barrage of blue language, the entire Soviet group got up and left. At which point, the locals dashed in and commandeered the top tables, from where they cheered on the Netherlands lustily. and when the Dutch added the second goal, the place went wild. It was hard to credit that this was happening in a city that had known only hardline communist rule for more than 30 years. Longer, I thought, than most of those cheering young Vietnamese men had been alive. They say that sport shouldn't be mixed with politics, but it can offer interesting insights. I'd seen how, for the Vietnamese, the Soviet Union was a brooding, heavy-handed presence. They would refer to the Soviets as the Yanks with no dollars, and who, for all their socialist solidarity, showed little respect for the Vietnamese people. As for Ireland's newfound recognition in the country, it did not require a military alliance to achieve it. But it took an army nonetheless, Jackie's army, to deliver it.